What is particularly interesting here, and this is a source that comes primarily to us in Spain, is poetry. In other words, we have poems that were written under the patronage of Chasda ibn Shaprut, poems in Hebrew, by specific Jewish poets who were commissioned by Chasda to write this poetry as a form of political flattery, as a form of entertainment, as a form of religious inspiration. Whatever the purpose of this poetry may be, it was commissioned by Chasda himself. As a courtier, Chasda believed that having poets around him, equivalent to the Muslim courtier who also had Arabic poets around him, made him more important, allowed him to have a public presence. And therefore, what emerges is wonderfully a new cultural expression of Judaism. That is, Chasda hires two poets. One of them, we even have the names because we have their poems. Dunash ibn Labrat is one individual, and Menachem ibn Saruk is another, both living at the time when Chasda ibn Shaprut was living. Both of them compose religious and secular poetry. And as you will see, these two poets initiate then a whole tradition that goes on for centuries to follow. Jewish poets writing poems in Hebrew. Now, why is this new? It is new in one sense, and it is old in another sense. It is old in the sense that there is already a tradition of liturgical poetry in the Jewish tradition called piyut. Piyutim were poems written by various cantors or those who led the services in Palestine and elsewhere, adding their own prayers to the liturgy itself. We have this long liturgical tradition which continues right up until Spain. In Spain itself, as you see, all of these poets that we're going to mention, both Menachem ibn Saruk and Dunash ibn Labrat, composed liturgical poems. But what is new is the fact that they also wrote poems, quote unquote, secular. That means poems having nothing to do with religiosity. Poems about drinking. Poems about loving women, about the physical aspects of women. Or in some cases, about loving men. Remember that Islamic culture was saturated with Greek-Roman culture, as we said. The Renaissance of this literature was then put into Arabic and so on. And clearly, homosexuality had been a dimension of classical culture, and it was passed on into Islamic culture as well, and it was even passed on into this Jewish culture. Now, in other words, when we find a poem written about the love of a man to a man, is this real or is this just imagined? Is this just a literary, you know, genre? Very hard to say, but nevertheless, what is clear is that Jews are doing exactly what the Muslim poets did. They're doing the same thing with one exception. And what is that exception? The exception is that they're writing in Hebrew. Now, we said already that the prose literature of Jews was written in Arabic. They had fully linguistically assimilated. But nevertheless, when they wrote their poems, they wrote them in Hebrew. Why? The answer is very simple. The model of Islamic poetry was the Quran. That was considered to be the best Arabic, the most pure, the most sacred Arabic. And therefore, for a Jew to adopt the model of the Quran in writing his own poetry made no sense. Rather, why not use his own sacred scripture, which was, of course, the Hebrew Bible, the Tanakh. The Hebrew Bible, therefore, became the model by which Hebrew poets were to create a new literature of poetry. The expressions, the play of words, the incredible flexibility all came from biblical idiom. But in this case, the biblical idiom could be transformed in a totally secular way. They could write about wine, women, and song using biblical phrases, but twisting them in such a way that they lost any kind of religious dimension and they became totally secularized. And what is also fascinating is that the same poet, as I said, could make that very easy transition from writing very pious poems, liturgical poems, to the most secular of all. So what we have here, therefore, is a Hebrew poetry that is novel in that it uses Arabic meter and it explores the secular themes of nature, wine, court life, sexuality, etc., but nevertheless preserves the Hebrew biblical idiom. The Hebrew poets of Spain simultaneously satisfied the spiritual and mundane needs of their patrons and the larger community in which they wrote. So what is unique about this period for the historian is that his primary source, other than rabbinic literature, philosophical literature, and some archival material, is poetry. In other words, what we want to try to do is to recreate, using this poetry, something about an elite court life which Jews experience, which parallel that of their Islamic counterparts.